If you found your spot tonight, it's Luke chapter 10, verse 38. It says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful week of camp that we had and the wonderful testimonies, the lives that were saved. The last night there was 50 to 60 souls up there, Lord, and we just praise you for that, give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise in it. Lord, we just thank you for the rededications. We thank you for the walls that had been broken down. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue to work in our teens. Lord, that you would strengthen them. Lord, put a protective hedge about them and just be with me as I deliver your word. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So again, tonight, as we talk about this, if you've seen their shirts as they were up here said, "This one thing." And so this one thing is from Philippians chapter 13 and chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. And it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And so that's kind of what led me to this passage. Actually, I was wrestling around with a couple other ones, and Pastor said, "Hey, another one that would be good is this one that we're looking at tonight." So I've changed this message from what I originally set out. This is the third one in less than 24 hours, so we're going to get to it and get moving. But tonight we're going to look at a wonderful portion of Scripture that's in the Gospels here, and it's not recorded in any other Gospel out of the four Gospels. I've titled tonight's message, "The Christian's Priority." And the priority is a very commonly used word in our day and age. You look at our society, it's the ever-ending, you know, it's never-ending 24-hour news cycle. Everything's to be chaotic, frantic, it's moving all the time. And people are wanting priorities. There's many books that are written on priorities. I did an Amazon search real quick to see how many books are written on priority or prioritizing your life. And I came up with, Amazon came up with 3,563 books that are sold on Amazon on how to prioritize your life. So when we say priority, we usually mean the important thing or the most necessary. A priority then is something that comes before everything else, I would say. So when you talk about priority, you're really saying what in my life comes before anything else, what is before anything else, and everything else. And so if we were to look at it and we were to go ask an average guy, average lady on the street, we would probably get several different answers and we were to go ask them. But if we were to ask the Christian, there should just be one answer alone. And that's what we're looking at tonight. If I were to say to you, write down on a sheet of paper, the number one priority for my life as a Christian, my life in the world, what would it be? What would you write down tonight? What is the number one priority? Not number two, not three, but one, only one. And so when I think about that, Psalms 27 verse 4 says this, "One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." And we looked earlier at Philippians chapter 3 verse 13 and 14, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ." So that's the number one thing. David had reduced his life to one thing, one single priority, and he said it was to behold the beauty of our Lord. Paul said one single priority was to know him and then to be conformed to his likeness. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 says this, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death." So what am I saying? What I am saying is behind all of that, there is one simple thing that's the Christian's single priority. The good news is there's just one. The bad news is if you get that one off, if you're off on that one, it's going to be a mess. Like if I mess up this top button on this shirt tonight and I come in here and it's all crooked and messed up, you guys are going to be making fun of me, asking me who dressed me, how old I am. And so that one button can mess up the rest of the button-up shirt, right? And so that's the way it is with the Christian priority. If we don't get that first thing right, then everything else in our life is going to be a wreck. If I get out of place and I'm not committed to my Bible reading, my prayer, everything falls apart. Family life, my marriage, my kids, all that. My job, everything in ministry and in our daily lives is to be that one prize, the high calling of Jesus Christ. And so if you get it, the rest of the Christian life unfolds. If you miss it, you limp without the possibility of adequate blessings and usefulness. So what we do with Christ is far more important than what we do for Christ. And so that's important. What we do with Christ is far more important than what we do with Christ. So you have to be in the Word first before you can actually start to give it out, right? You have to receive salvation first before you can actually, you have to possess it before you can give it to somebody else. You have to be able to be in it. One priority, let's find out what that is tonight. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." Luke isn't concerned about where Jesus is. The focus here is on the content of his teaching, not on where. And we learn later on in John chapter 11 and chapter 12, it's Bethany. We see that from the Gospel of John. But he's going to teach Mary, I believe, in this setting about Satan, about suffering, warning us about greed, instruction about contentment, how to use money, how to give, lessons on unity, righteousness, and holiness, instruction on humility, pride, cost of the loyalty to follow Christ, how to enter into the kingdom of God. He's going to teach us about divorce. He's going to teach Mary about divorce, about hell, and a lot about faith, I would say. And so here she is. Mary's in the right posture. Martha is cumbered about many things. And so I would tell you this tonight. This is what Charles Spurgeon said. "A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't." And so a Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to somebody who isn't. And God speaks through his word. Would you agree? And so when we think about that, John 7, verse 16 says this, "Jesus answered them and said, 'My doctrine is not mine, but he that sent me.'" And then John 17, 8 says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. And I have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed, and thou didst send me." And so it's not just the atheist or the agnostic, the mysticist, or even the indifferent people are the enemies of God or the truth who refuse to listen to him. Martha wasn't an enemy of Jesus. She was a follower of Jesus. And you say, how do you know that? Look at verse 40, if you will. Verse 40 says she calls him Lord. You don't call him Lord unless you've accepted him as Lord and Savior. So she's saved. She's a believer of Jesus Christ. She's not an enemy of him, but yet she is cumbered about the wrong things. And he tells her later on that there's one thing that is needful. And so I had an example tonight, but I'm not going to do it for the time's sake here, but I'll just kind of explain it. Satan is a deceiver. If you agree, say amen. And so what we see is he'll come along and you'll have your Bible, and it's not necessarily evil things that can be put on your plate. It's like, hey, you're a parent. Would you like to be on the PTA or PTO? Oh, yeah, I'll sign up for that. Oh, my kid needs to get in this sport or that sport. And before you know it, you just have all this stuff piled on your plate. And so the illustration tonight, I was going to have a young man come up here and hold the Bible, pile up all this stuff, and say, hey, now read me Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 6. And he would say, I can't. And I would say, why? And he would say, because I've got too much stuff on top of my Bible or on top of my plate, I can't read scripture. And that happens in our lives sometimes, where we're sitting there and we just take on things that are just not necessarily evil, but just other things that weigh us down and slow us down and doesn't allow us to dig into the word like we should. So before we can represent Christ as we should or imitate him in our ministry, we must spend time with him and learn from him. And Martha and Mary were not in any official ministry, but that didn't change their priority. So many of you may be saying tonight, hey, I just come to church. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I don't maybe need to dig into that. Maybe that's you tonight, teens. You say, hey, I've trusted Christ. I'm okay with that. I get to go to heaven. I'm not in an official capacity as a life group leader or whatever it may be, a deacon, a trustee, or maybe that's you tonight as an adult. Hey, I'm not a deacon, a trustee, a life group leader. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a staff guy, whatever it may be. But the case is that we're called as Christians to dig into the word and to learn it and to study it to show thyself approved, right? And so when we look at it, we're all called to this study of scripture. We're all called to be in the word. And so the single priority for all Christians is to hear the revealed word of God, because that is prior to every other spiritual duty. And so how can I tell somebody that's going through a hardship what the Bible says if I'm not in it, if I'm not digging into the Word and being able to give that advice back out? And so we see in Luke 10:38, it says he entered a certain village, and I told you about that. It's Bethany. And verse 39, it says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So again, Mary was at the right spot where she needed to be. She had that one thing down where Martha was not. She knew this would be the Lord, her Lord. Martha called him Lord. They were both believers. So one of them got it right, and one of them got it wrong. And so I'm here tonight to say this. Maybe you're here tonight and you're already doing this, but many of you may not be, and you can start to do this. Find someone who is further along in the faith and start to meet with them. Start asking them, hey, can I get a moment of your time? Can I do some one-on-one discipleship? And that's key. Teens, that is key in your walk. You need to find someone who's further along in the faith that's going to hold you accountable. Like many of you said, I want to be accountable. I want to give 100%. I don't want to fall back. You need to get plugged in. You need to get in touch with the leaders, whoever it may be, and get discipled. And that's going to continue to have you grow further along. Mary demonstrates the attitude of a true believer, I would say. Martha is distracted, but Mary demonstrates the attitude of a true believer. And this is for parents tonight, myself included. Parents, when's the last time you ask your kids, what's the last chapter of the Bible they read? What's a memory verse that they're studying? Because I can tell you that we can probably quote how many points a game LeBron James is scoring, how many rebounds, our fantasy football teams, whatever it may be. But when's the last time we asked them, how you doing in your spiritual life? What's the last chapter that you read? Because I can tell you going to camp, not to call anybody to the table, but we've got to do better. He is Lord, and so therefore we need to treat him as that. And we'll get into some verses here in a minute. Luke chapter 6, verse 47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. We'll back up one verse real quick. 46 says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And so it is those who come to Jesus and listen to Jesus and act on what he says that are truly his. A lot of people say, Lord, Lord, or I believe, but it isn't the priority for them to come and to hear the preaching of God's word or to dig in and study God's word and to know his word. And probably some of the scariest verses in all of Scripture, and Pastor Josh preached on this Wednesday night at camp, Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me. That's pretty scary there, I would say, tonight. And so Luke chapter 8, verse 20 and 21 says, and it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the words of God and do it. So again tonight, if we are professing Christians, we're going to be hearers of the word, but we're not only just going to be hearers, but we're going to be doers like we learned about in Life Group, right? And through the study of James. And so when we think about those things, the hearing of God's word is simply stated in this, Luke chapter 11, verse 28. But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So we see tonight two very different type of women. One who's busy about, one who's at the right posture. And I would say few things are as damaging to the Christian life as trying to work for Christ without taking time to commune with Christ. John 15, verse 5 says this, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For with me ye can do what? How many things? Nothing. So you have to be in the word. You have to be saturated in it. You have to do what he's called us to do. So I would say this tonight, as we're trying to wrap it up and get out of here. To do much for God, you must be much with God. to do much for God, you must be much with God. You have to be in prayer. You have to be in the Word. You have to be in it daily. And again, Martha, she was just distracted in her preparations. There's nothing wrong with being hospitable. I mean, if anybody you'd want to be hospitable for, Jesus was in your house, I mean, you'd make sure. I know my mom, she would be all over it, like, hey, you got to have this clean, you need to do this, 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 and this. And we'd be working for weeks for Jesus to come, right? It'd be all cleaned up, ready to go, spotless. We'd be double-checking everything. There's nothing wrong with hospitably, and being hospitable. But she missed the best thing. She had the right mindset, but she missed the best. And so for us tonight, teens and adults, we don't want to miss the best. Jesus is the best thing that we could ever get. God has given us his best. And so tonight, in closing, Luke 9:23 tells us this: deny yourself daily, basically, right? He says, and he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So is that you tonight? Are you professing Christ? Are you dying to yourself daily? And so if you would tonight, if you would just stand with me as the musicians come and close us out.